Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Two people were arrested in Day County on drug charges Tuesday. Sheriff Ryan Ruckdashel says a deputy came upon the suspect's vehicle on U.S. Highway 12 between Webster and Wabe. He immediately noticed drug paraphernalia and was granted consent to search the vehicle. The deputy found user amounts of meth, a meth pipe, and nearly $3,200 cash. The suspects, one male and one female, were booked into jail but have since bonded out. Their names have not been released. Ruckdashel says it appears the pair was returning from a drug run to this area when they were caught. Marijuana reform groups submitted petitions containing over 80,000 signatures to the South Dakota Secretary of State's office this week, hoping to qualify two separate ballot questions for next year's election. One would establish a medical marijuana program for qualified patients with debilitating health conditions. The other would legalize marijuana for people 21 and older and require the state legislature to enact a hemp cultivation law. Governor Kristi Noem is against both initiatives.
My whole process, my whole vision for our state is that we lead by example. And every single person in the state that I've talked to that's in the treatment business that deals with addiction every day, deals with crime and drugs over the years, has consistently said to me, Kristi, please don't ever legalize marijuana. It is always the gateway drug to getting people more addicted, getting into stronger drugs, then they end up committing crimes, and it just opens the door to bad habits and behaviors that aren't going to be beneficial.
Noem says recreational marijuana is unregulated and dangerous for our next generation, and she says research shows marijuana does more harm than good.
And even since the last several years, we've got so much more research and information on what it does for mental health, how damaging it can be for kids, how it stunts their brains and development. And so many other states are experimenting with this. I think it's too big of a risk for South Dakota to go out there and do it as well.
The South Dakota Secretary of State must now verify the validity of the signatures to determine if the questions will be placed on next year's ballot. The Watertown Salvation Army has announced its 2019 Red Kettle campaign will kick off next Friday, November 15th, and continue every day through Christmas Eve, except for Thanksgiving Day and Sundays. This year, bell ringers will be at seven different locations. A new partnership with Runnings has been made, and bell ringers will be looking for donations there. If you'd like to be a volunteer bell ringer this holiday season, go online to registertoring.com. The money collected during the Salvation Army Red Kettle campaign supports many Salvation Army programs and services throughout the year. They include food assistance, emergency rent and utility assistance, and a community lunch program. In recent years, the Salvation Army has set a goal of raising around $75,000 in Watertown through their bell ringing campaign. Well, thanks to a second chance drawing, a pair of South Dakota lottery players will ring in the new year in New York, and they could come back home as a millionaire. Julie Plunkett of Kranzberg and Kelly Engen of Brookings were named South Dakota's winners of the New Year's Rockin' Eve promotion. The South Dakota Lottery, along with other lotteries in the U.S., participated in the second chance drawing, which allowed players to enter non-winning Powerball tickets. The prize for the second chance drawing includes an all-expense-paid trip to Times Square for New Year's Eve, as well as entry into an additional drawing to become 2020's first millionaire. The winner of the million-dollar drawing will be announced on ABC's New Year's Rockin' Eve broadcast. The owner of Bison Grain Company in Bison, South Dakota, has been sentenced to 75 years in prison on charges of kidnapping, sexual assault, and aggravated assault. Richard Seidel was sentenced on Tuesday. The victim, in seeking a protection order in November 2017, told the court Seidel had strangled and bound her, kidnapped and raped her, and threatened her with a gun. Seidel was released on $1 million bond after he was charged. In July, a jury found Seidel guilty of first-degree kidnapping, second-degree rape, committing a felony while armed, and aggravated assault. State's Attorney Shane Penfield thank the victim for her courage and testimony. Seidel did not testify in his own defense. Well, as colder temperatures descend on the northern plains, that will freeze much of the soil moisture that's in place and raise the chances of spring flooding. Doug Kluck is the Central Region Climate Services Director for the National Weather Service in Kansas City, and he says they're watching a number of elements.
So you've got wet soils, you've got high reservoirs, you've got a high base flow. In other words, it's going to take a while to drain. Even the rivers, like the James River, for example, take a very long time to drain out and probably won't until next spring. And that's only if we don't get sort of average or above normal precipitation during those times.
The National Weather Service outlook calls for above normal snow for most of the northern plains, but Kluck says there are not strong climate drivers right now.
Something we lean on a lot in the climate world in terms of outlooks is El Nino and La Nina. And we don't have a strong one or the other pushing our forecast one way or the other. So those outlooks, although based on the best science that we have a relatively low confidence level attached to them. So we're hoping, we're actually hoping we're wrong in this case.
Kluck says a quiet weather pattern would be the best case.
But what we really need to happen is to have a relatively dry and relatively warm winter season so we can get rid of some of the water that's already existing across the entire Missouri and upper Midwest, as a matter of fact.
Kluck says snowpack is already accumulating in the Rocky Mountain reach of the Missouri River. A legislative committee dealing with the electric service territories in South Dakota has come up with a compromise that both sides will continue negotiating. Rural electric co-ops have been complaining when municipal electrics take over service when their city expands. State Senator Alan Solano of Rapid City chairs the Electric Services in an Annexed Area Committee, and he says they need some type of agreeable framework.
The problem I see now is if we don't have something that is at least work that the both sides can work on together on dealing with some of these issues, if we don't have something that comes out of this committee that each side feels like they can work on and we can still mold this thing, then we're just back to, you know, quite frankly, I'd tell people, you know, go back to your corners and come out swinging.
Solano says their proposal could set the stage for legislation in 2020.
If we want to do another meeting and keep hammering this out, we can do that. What we could make for a recommendation to, I believe, to the executive board is that this creates a boilerplate that is in need of answering, and we can line this out in our report, that is in need of answering these things if it's going to continue through to session.
The compromise would involve the Public Utilities Commission in settling service area disputes. The compromise passed the committee on an 8-1 vote on Wednesday. That's what's happening from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner.